This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to stay with commercial space on the surface of the planet Earth, promising the future with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. We begin with Rocket Lab. What is Rocket Lab, Bob? What is its mission? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Rocket Lab is the first small fat rocket company that has actually launched successfully. It's done, I think 20 launches, 19 launches, maybe more, successfully putting up CubeSats or nanosats, small satellites. And they're successful. They launched this week something even more interesting. They launched a mission to the moon, a CubeSat to the moon, a NASA CubeSat called Capstone. And this is a CubeSat that's going to be put into lunar orbit, and it's going to be testing the orbit that NASA wishes to use for its lunar gateway mini station that it wants to put around the moon. This mission is really interesting for a bunch of different reasons. Capstone was not built by NASA. They hired a private company, Terran Orbital, to build it. Terran Orbital specializes in building satellites for others. And it didn't launch it. It hired a private company, Rocket Lab, to put it into orbit. And Rocket Lab did something else in addition. It has its Electron rocket for putting small sats into low Earth orbit, but it a few years ago started to develop something called its proton upper stage that it would attach to the Electron rocket to provide other satellites capabilities to go to other worlds, literally other worlds. So Capstone was launched by Electron. It was deployed into Earth orbit, and now the Proton upper stage is over the next 4 months going to slowly raise the orbit of Capstone until it slips into the right lunar orbit, where it will then spend a few years doing technology tests about how to operate in that particular orbit, because it's an unusual orbit. It's a polar orbit that dips from 1,000 miles above the lunar surface to 43,000 miles above the surface. And this is kind of comparable to the orbit gateway we'll be in. And so they want to see about communications and technology and operations within that orbit. And so Capstone will test this out. And it's a CubeSat, which is once again demonstrating that tiny satellites are beginning to take on the tasks that once could only be done by very big, heavy, and expensive satellites. It's a big deal, John.
And also, Bob, this is a market with different pricing, with resale, wonderful. So we go now to Cygnus. Cygnus is a ISS freight carrier, like a freighter ship, as I recall.
Yes, it's an unmanned freighter. It was built originally by Orbital ATK, which was purchased by Northrop Grumman, so it belongs to Northrop Grumman right now. It's launched on the Antares rocket of Northrop Grumman. It's a private operation. NASA hired the company to provide cargo to ISS. The important part of the story here is that a freighter has been docked to ISS, and what NASA's been trying to develop and Northrop Grumman's been trying to develop is the capability of Cygnus to use its engine to raise the orbit of ISS. Periodically, this orbit must be boosted because it decays slowly in the very thin atmosphere at that high elevation. And so every once in a while, engines have to fire to raise the orbit slightly so the station doesn't fall back to Earth. And traditionally, for the last 20 years, the responsibility for doing this was the Russians using its Progress freighters or engines on its modules. Station modules. Relations with Russia these days are questionable, to put it mildly. And Russia's been very iffy about how long it's going to stay as a partner to ISS, and I'm not sure how long we want them as a partner. They're trying to keep it going as a partnership, but having the capability within U.S. Companies to boost the orbit of ISS without relying on the Russians is important. So Cygnus attempted to do this. They had done a previous attempt. They didn't quite get what they wanted from that, but that was a test. And so this past weekend, they attempted it again, and they did a limited reboost of ISS, demonstrating that the engines on Cygnus can actually do this function. So that gets NASA closer to being able to not have to rely on the Russians for this very important function, John.
And Bob, the significance also of hiring Northrop Grumman, the reason I hesitate is Northrop Grumman is one of the big defense firms, and therefore it's difficult to associate it with, say, Rocket Lab. But it is a commercial space enterprise. It is big industry obliging the future by entrepreneurship. Is that correct, Bob? Is that how to understand?
Yeah, that's correct. But what's more significant is that ownership belongs to Northrop Grumman. In the past, during the big space era, NASA would conceive of a cargo ship, let's say. At the time it was the shuttle, but they would conceive of a cargo. If they needed a new cargo ship, they'd conceive of it, they'd get the designs together, and they would basically supervise its construction, but then they'd own it afterward and not allow any other use but what NASA wished. So there's no profit to be made. Nowadays, NASA doesn't own anything. It's a customer. It buys the services from private companies. Now, initially, it bought this cargo capsule from Orbital ATK for the purpose of Orbital ATK making money. Orbital ATK merged with Northrop Grumman. It bought it out. But that doesn't change the fact that Northrop Grumman owns the rocket and the capsule and can make money on it outside of NASA if it wishes. Northrop Grumman has actually been leveraging the design of Cygnus to get other contracts, such as it's building components of Lunar Gateway based upon Cygnus. And it's also trying to build its own space station, private, based upon Cygnus. And in all cases, it owns it, and that's the big deal, John.
We go to OneWeb. This is more of updating Bob's understanding of the Constellation Wars. What is OneWeb, Bob?
OneWeb is one of the two already partly launched constellations in orbit to provide internet service to the world. The other one is Starlink. OneWeb was launching all its satellites pretty much on Soyuz rockets by the Russians through Ariane Space, the European company. With the Ukraine war, the Russians decided not to launch a set of 36 OneWeb satellites in early March, but even worse, they confiscated the satellites. They refused to return them. They were paid for the launch. They're not going to do the launch, not going to fund the money, and they stole the satellites. So OneWeb needed to find it, and so there was about half a dozen more launches that OneWeb was depending on to get its constellation up into orbit. Those are gone. They're not going to use the Russians to do that. So OneWeb signed the contracts with both SpaceX and the Indian Space Agency to launch the remaining satellites. And so there was a conference this week in which a OneWeb official announced clearly that they expect to get all their launches. They're going to resume launching their satellites before the end of this year, and they expect to complete the constellation by the second quarter of next year. That'll only be slightly behind schedule. And so that's good news. It also, we're once again seeing the private ownership of rockets and satellites encouraging business all across the board, John.
Starship has the makings of a lunar trip and a Mars trip. However, recently, Bob has been explicating the long wait for clearance by the FAA to use Boca Chica Starbase as the launch of Starship. Always, Bob was keen to remind us that Elon Musk, the mastermind of SpaceX, had made a remark during the wintertime that if this place doesn't work, if the FAA or in some fashion regulators believe that Starbase is not for the future of travel, frequent travel to orbit and beyond, then the fallback is Cape Canaveral, is Florida. What's happened, Bob?
Well, ironically, even as SpaceX begins to build the Starship orbital launch pad at Cape Canaveral, NASA's officials have revealed that they're not going to allow any Starship Super Heavy launches at this launch pad, at least for the moment. And unlike Boca Chica and the FAA's restrictions, the ones NASA is putting on for Starship at Florida have some engineering common sense. The issue is that the Starship launch pad is 1,000 feet away from the launch pad that SpaceX uses to launch manned Dragon capsules to ISS. And at present, the manned Dragon capsule is the only way NASA can get astronauts to and from ISS. And so NASA's concern is that if a Starship Super Heavy launch fails at the launch pad, the explosion might damage the Dragon launch pad, and they're worried about that. So they want have really close discussions between SpaceX and NASA about this issue. It could be they will go along with the launches. It could very well be that they won't. It could be they'll force SpaceX to reconsider the location of the launch pad. That would require some reconstruction since they've already started building it. It's a more reasonable. There was actual reasons, engineering reasons for SpaceX, for NASA's reluctance here. Unfortunately, though, it puts SpaceX in the middle of a tug of war between different government agencies. While NASA's might be reluctant to have SpaceX launch Super Starship from Florida, the FAA and NOAA and Fish and Wildlife are trying to block its launches from Boca Chica. And so SpaceX is kind of caught in the middle of government agencies trying to tell us all how to live our lives.
In other words, Florida isn't the success we thought it was yet. That's yet, Bob. And 1,000 feet is awful close. Is this the first time this has come up? I mean, didn't anybody see the plans?
Yeah, it's a good question. SpaceX announced these plans about 8 months ago in detail. I posted on the Behind the Black where they were going to build the facility. So you wonder why NASA is only now raising the question. That's when I begin to think, the timing makes me think politics is a background here. But I don't know that for a fact. And there is some logic to this. Based on SpaceX's experience at Boca Chica, though, 1,000 feet is plenty of distance because they have the tank farm with all the propellants. You know, both methane. I'm not methane. Methane and oxygen. Very close to the Starship launch pad in Boca Chica. I mean, really, we're talking about only a few hundred feet, and it's not been a problem. They really have things under that kind of control. So it could be this will work out in the end, John, but it's an issue.
We go to Blue Origin, which is the other big private enterprise that has expectations of lunar and Mars travel. Blue Origin is moving, has moved away from landing New Glenn stages on ships, on barges like SpaceX. Is that what they're thinking?
No, this is once again a reflection of the disappointment of Blue Origin. This is a company, you know, they love to sell, but Jeff Bezos is the guy who founded it. They love to, as you did, John, love to talk about how they're going to go to Mars and the moon and so forth, but they haven't accomplished almost anything. So I don't like to rank them that high. However, they have this New Glenn orbital rocket they've been trying to build now for about 6 years. And it was going to be similar to Falcon 9. Its first stage was going to land on a ship in the Atlantic Ocean and then be reused. Well, back in 2018, Blue Origin purchased a cargo ship, which it was then going to refurbish to be the landing pad for the New Glenn's first stages. Well, now it's 4 years later, and Blue Origin has abandoned those plans. And the reason they give is that it's going to cost too much to adapt the ship for this purpose. They haven't said what they're going to do instead. So we don't know where those first stages are going to land. As I point out, New Glenn is still now 3 years behind schedule, and we don't know when it's going to launch. This is indicating to me once again that the overall management of Blue Origin from about 17 to the present, or at least to the last until 21, was abysmal, terrible. And it slowed the company down to nothing. And whether the company is going to get itself back in shape now, I don't know. The abandoning this cargo ship as a landing pad might actually be a good thing. They might have realized this was a bad decision on how to do this. SpaceX, you know, built a drone ships specifically designed for the task. Right. They didn't try to adapt a cargo vessel. And so it could be they realized the same
thing. All right, quickly, Bob. The Blue Origin's BE-4 engine for commissioning. That sounds positive, is it?
It's a funny question. I don't know. This engine for the New Glenn rocket is years behind schedule, and only recently did Blue Origin reveal a picture saying it's now on its test stand and they're going to begin commissioning engine tests. They were supposed to deliver this engine to the ULA almost 2 years ago, and they're only beginning commissioning tests now. ULA hopes to launch its Vulcan rocket using this engine in the first stage before the end of this year, and I just don't see how that's possible.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.